Radio.
You're listening to CryptoCurrent, the only podcast that explores the bold projects, exciting opportunities, and the growing reach of blockchain and cryptocurrency. Whether you've got skin in the game or you're just crypto curious, keep an open mind, enjoy the conversation, and stay CryptoCurrent. Now here's your host, Richard Carthon.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of CryptoCurrent. Your host here, Richard Carthon. And today I got a special guest that is currently in New Mexico, but is a nomad and goes all over the place. But today we have Brady with District 0X. How are you doing today?
Excellent. Thanks for having me on.
Of course, man. So how about we get started and you tell us a little bit about yourself and give us a little background?
Sure. I started getting into crypto in really early on, in about 2011 is when I first read the white paper and looked at it. And I kind of, as everyone says, fell down that rabbit hole and just kept going. So I found it really interesting, and I ended up doing like consulting work for individuals and landed a couple decent gigs really early on from people who were interested in and in integrating it into their businesses and even their personal lives. And then I ended up landing a gig at Coinbase on their operations team, doing a lot of internal operations work, some training modules and education, and kind of the same thing I was doing with consulting. And then I was onboarded to their regulatory compliance team shortly after that and did a lot of AML work and just general compliance work to cross all the T's and dot all the I's. And after all of that, I was wanting to dig in a little bit deeper and found that regulatory compliance wasn't where my heart was really at. So a couple coworkers from Coinbase actually started District 0X and offered me the community management role and continuing to do educational type work like I had been doing in the past. And now I'm at District 0X and I've helped build out their education.
Awesome. Let's stay there real quick, man. So awesome. You've been in the space for 8 years. You've been able to do consulting, work at Coinbase, regulation, and now you're doing on the community building side. And like that is incredible and definitely going to dive into a couple questions in that later. But I know you're beginning to tell us a little bit about District 0X. So can you tell us, you know, what is it? How did y'all come up with the concept and where y'all headed?
Sure. So District 0X is rooted in the fact that we're looking at this new whole gig economy, as they're calling it. That's the buzzword anyway, but this isn't really new. I mean, we've seen eBay, we've seen Amazon. That's all community marketplaces in general, but they're not the most equitable in terms of the users who are the ones generating the actual value for the platform itself. So in terms of like what problem we're trying to solve, it's really in the fact that there's a lot of middlemen, there's a lot of rent seeking that is really unnecessary. And as we've seen with things like Uber now, it's gotten even worse because a lot of the drivers they're doing worse than if they were just driving a taxi or doing their own driving service independently. So a lot of this that was kind of like phase two of the whole community marketplace platform. We're trying to build phase three where it's owned, operated, and managed entirely by the community using a lot of these new Web3 protocols and platforms. And we are integrating directly with Aragon, which is going to be the governance side of things. And then we also have a lot of our front-end frameworks and general tools that we're developing, which is another rabbit hole that we can dive into some of that here in just a little bit. But that's it in a nutshell.
Wow. I mean, that's really cool. Very necessary. The gig economy, yes, is here. And there's a lot that can be improved. And you touched on a lot of those different points. And I'm glad to hear that that is something that y'all are proactively going out and changing. So can you, I know that you have like a couple of different use cases of companies that are currently using your district. So first, can you explain like what are your districts? And then can you give us some different use cases of how they're being utilized?
Sure. So this is going to kind of get into the rabbit hole, if you don't mind a little bit.
Go ahead.
We didn't want to do the typical, you know, copy and paste Uber business model, but, you know, ran by the users. We wanted to go a little further with some of the more interesting things that are being developed in the Web3 community, which one of the main reasons I joined and was so excited about joining District Zero X was Joe told me that they were going to be building specifically token curated registries and curation markets and Aragon governance and bonding curves and some of the more interesting use cases that allow you to do very different things and generate value in entirely new and almost abstract ways. So I dove in and took a look at everything that was on my plate for educating people about all this, and it was like right up my alley. So here's the rabbit hole. We decided to go with the first marketplace, of course, was just a job platform and a freelancing platform, but it's entirely decentralized and on the Ethereum network. So you can pretty much just find work anywhere in the world without anyone in between. It's just you and the person providing employment. And we're even going to be expanding that here pretty soon with entirely new feature sets and bounty platforms and a lot of things that expand the use cases of a freelancing platform. So the second one we did, and these are kind of, you could think of these as like proof of concept templates for the types of marketplaces that we're encouraging on the platform.
Okay.
So that was the first one, which is a general marketplace for work, basically. And then the second one was a little further down the rabbit hole using ENS names on the Ethereum network. and it allows you to buy and sell and register ENS names, which for anyone who's not familiar, which I'm sure your audience is, but I'll give the quick rundown. It's basically human readable names for Ethereum addresses. So you don't have to have that long string of letters and numbers. And we made it like a one-stop shop for all ENS names, ENS needs. And it allows you to come there and do everything you need for registering, buying, selling, trading, everything you need to do. So that was the second one. FYI, it is on hold right now because we're actually revamping that platform from the ground up for a number of reasons.
Okay.
But the third one was actually Meme Factory, which was a digital collectible platform that allows artists to tokenize and monetize their artwork in new and interesting ways using curation markets, which was the big one for me and why I originally joined was because I think I myself am a musician. So I really see something like curation markets creating value in an abstract way for artists and artist communities and creator communities, not just musicians and artists, but creators in general. And you can use curation markets to really generate value in a whole new way and distribute it in a whole new way. And I think that's something, again, we talk about community marketplaces, things like Spotify are kind of a community marketplace as well for artists, but highly centralized. And I see that curation markets are really the key to breaking that whole, well, I'll just say it, terrible business model.
So gotcha.
And let me say one thing though. You can think of these almost like WordPress templates, and the whole point of us putting these three marketplaces out is kind of a proof of concept, and then we want to actually launch auxiliary modules, which we've committed to one here pretty soon using 0x, which is like any token payments, so you can send and receive tokens on invoices with any currency you want on the Ethereum network. So you could think of these marketplaces WordPress templates, and then you could think of the auxiliary modules like WordPress plugins to extend functionality. So that's really the high level view there.
And I think that's a really good way to say it for people who understand like website building and like how you can go build a website and do all this stuff. You're basically building a blockchain protocol where people get these templates, and then you have your plugins. You can go like basically customize it to your likings and whatever you're trying to get accomplished on your particular, I don't want to call it a website, but whatever enterprise you're trying to build on top of your platform, correct?
Right. You could think of it like a quick way to, the end goal being kind of a quick way to spin up something like Craigslist for anything. And that's pretty much what we're aiming for.
Gotcha. Well, that's cool, man. I think the three use cases make a lot of sense to me, especially what you were saying with the third one with curation of artist content. There's just a lot of opportunity in that realm, and especially making a business model that makes the most sense to give the power to the people that are creating their art. I think that just makes a lot of sense.
Right. And I think the important thing is a lot of these platforms that we've been used to in Web 2.0 was the business model was the platform itself, making a bunch of CEOs and executives really rich off the backs of all the people actually generating the value. And this kind of takes that business model and throws it in the laps of the users themselves. So there is a trade-off there, though, because you could say the fees that these larger platforms are charging is a justification for how much business that they're bringing you. So you do have a lot more business in your lap in exchange for that large fee that they're charging. But at the same time, there's a lot of unethical and really horrible things that have happened. And some people have even been completely deplatformed. And what we're building removes that possibility of being deplatformed from your job, which is a terrible thing, as we've seen on Patreon.
Right. And I mean, initially that sounds awesome. I guess my first question, and I'm sure you have an answer for it, is what if someone's coming out and doing malicious things or things that like don't align with the purpose of the platform?
Sure. So here's where the governance really comes into play. And specifically what we're about to launch is the district registry, which allows the marketplaces to have kind of a barrier to entry to what marketplaces are allowed in the network and that can use all the different ancillary services and features like the 0x modules and plugins and all that. Like, only the people that have been accepted into the registry will get access to all this and be quote unquote part of the network. And that could be a loose term because it's going to be really interesting as governance takes off and seeing what being part of the network really entails, because it could be entire communities of workers that provide jobs and work exclusively for network participants. And you'll just lose out on a lot of those resources if you don't get into the registry. And let's explain what the registry is so everyone knows. It's actually a token curated registry, which is what Meme Factory is, and you use tokens to curate the acceptance of people who are applying to be part of that network, or it's a list, essentially, a VIP list almost.
Gotcha. Okay, which makes sense. And by having your own governance and letting everyone to be able to regulate and make their own rules to make sure that, you know, there is something to go by, I think it's a strong way to help eliminate or do as much as you can to make sure that people aren't misusing and abusing the purpose of the platform in the first place. So I do think that is a, you know, solid way to stop that.
There is more on the granular level, though, that is a major concern with open platforms in general. A perfect example would be not even in the decentralization and Web3 community, but there's been a recent problem with bots actually scraping the internet for images, and the bots list those images on t-shirt making websites and swag stores in a completely automated fashion. And they end up putting pretty terrible things on t-shirts and stealing people's artwork. And there's like a major intellectual property issue there right now. So that is on the more granular level, that could be a concern on something like Meme Factory or even on Ethlance in some regards, depending on the type of work that's being provided. So another part of that is we're researching reputation modules that might be coming along down the line once that's a little more solid. That's kind of a rabbit hole in and of itself in Web3, but there are some great projects working on some good solutions there. But in more of a immediate solution, I would have to say that people who are launching their own districts need to have something in their back pocket that allows them to maybe hide things on the front end. If they get copyright strikes on their platform, they need to start paying attention to things like what YouTube just did. And they launched a new response to the new child protection laws in the US that the FTC launched. And it basically makes the creators and users of the platform responsible for the content they're uploading instead of the platform themselves. But the platforms need to also be aware of how those changes affect them and give their users the ability to opt in and opt out of certain things like that. That literally just happened, though, and that those regulations actually go forward on January 1st. So that's kind of a new one. But then there's a lot of other things when it comes to open platforms that there's a lot of challenges for users, regulators, and platforms. And it's kind of interesting that a lot of the regulations are kind of leveling the playing field on who's responsible. And it used to just be platforms. That's not so much the case anymore now that a lot of changes have happened internationally, even with the regulatory things. So,
and that's a really
down that rabbit hole, though.
Yeah, so. No, that's a really good point, and the fact that that's shifting. And you know, obviously, I do think there's a responsibility to the platform, but it has a lot more to do with the content producers. Like, you know, you generally know what's going on, so like there should be some responsibility on that party to, you know, A, be regulating their own information and their own content, but then two, being able to have some responsibility in what they are putting on these particular platforms. So it's going to be interesting to see how all of that's like regulated and put out. And I'm glad that YouTube is leading the charge on like getting stuff like that done. But since you already told me you have a background in regulation, and I think one of the most important things that are going to be happening in the crypto and blockchain space is regulation and seeing how various countries are putting in certain rules to handle various situations. My next question for you is, what are some things in the horizon in the next year or two that you think from a regulatory standpoint, people should have or should be looking out for?
Yeah. You know, I think the big thing is Web3. It's major. Everyone talks about disruption, right? Let's use the buzzword. Just for kicks today.
go for it.
The disruption isn't really in finance and payments and decentralized platforms. It's none of that. It's really in the fact that regulatory agencies have, for the first time in decades, have been challenged pretty significantly, and regulatory rules and laws have actually been changed in the first time in decades. And that's not something that you see happen very often. And it's really exciting to see, because regulations tend to have a stagnation of innovation problem. And this kind of flips that on its head. And now everyone's kind of in a space race and trying to figure out how to catch up with open platforms, which is looks like it's going to be the new standard. And 2020 really is going to be the year where a lot of things become pretty solid in terms of clear-cut guidance and paths forward for regulations. I think a lot of regulators around the world finally understand what's happening. A lot of the platform creators are understanding where they're coming from and getting guidance. But I think it's still going to be interesting to see the challenges. And I don't know personally what it's going to look like, but I do know there are going to be some major challenges for everyone. And when there is clear-cut guidance, that's the thing. It's kind of set in stone, but I think someone's going to get it right in the world and lead by example. And I don't know who that's going to be or where it's going to be, but I think we're going to start seeing that in 2020 and 2021 as well.
And that excites me, because I believe as you get regulation, you get closer steps to mass adoption. Because like, once people understand how is this legally going to be handled, then people take more risks because they know how they can protect their downside.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's pretty exciting, because a lot of people are like, oh, crypto's slowed down quite a bit. And it's like, yeah, that's actually a good thing, because everyone needed a breather for a minute so they could think about how they're going to approach this. And that means everyone. That's governments, law enforcement, even military in some regards. And it's pretty exciting. I mean, we have a lot on our plate as an entire world.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And on that subject, man, like, I mean, you've been in this space in a tremendous amount of time, worked on a ton of different projects and have seen a lot happen. What are some different crypto and blockchain projects that caught your attention and that you're continuing to kind of see how it progresses over time?
Sure. You know, it's not so much specific projects, it's standards that are developing. And a lot of the projects, we went through this like tribalism phase, which was really frustrating for me because like, I feel like everyone's just reinventing the wheel for almost a decade straight. And that kind of, it makes you want to bang your head on the table because you're like, okay, this project is awesome. This project is awesome. They're all awesome because they're all doing these little things, but each and every one of them is trying to reinvent the wheel. And I think we're still kind of coming out of that phase, but I think reality is about to hit a lot of projects and they're going to start integrating and collaborating more. And I, even us included, we weren't really collaborating directly because we're trying to build our base platform. And that's the same thing with all the projects. So it's not a bad thing that everyone was like very tribal-like. It's just kind of a phase of development because you have to have your foundation first before you can collaborate. And I think, outside of regulation, you ask what's going to happen in 2020. I think 2020 is going to be the major step forward for integration, cross-collaboration, cross-functionality of different chains, different solutions. And it's not going to be any one project. I think a lot of people are going to finally start developing standards based on what makes the most sense. And that's going to be exciting. Like for us specifically, we're finally, right as we speak, are integrating with Aragon directly in a very tangible way on the district registry. And that's going to be an integration directly with them. We have some integrations that are going to be coming down the line with other projects as well. Most notably 0x, of course, with the AnyToken payments, but there's going to be a lot more and this can continue to happen. So it feels like in the past, everyone was building their Legos. Now we are actually like snapping them together in this big, actual construct now.
Yeah. And, I really do agree with that sentiment. Like one of the biggest things that I look at companies that thrived in the dot-com bubble and everything, a lot of them built these platforms that could integrate or that could do something that could then collaborate and take over other different aspects of functionalities that they didn't have. So whether they like literally did it themselves or they said like, huh, we don't really do that, but here's this API call or here's this whatever so that we can now integrate with you and everything moves very smoothly. And I think there's way too many initial crypto and blockchain projects that came out and said, we're on this island, we're building this island, built on top of our island. Instead of saying like, oh, you can have your own island and we can talk this way and everybody could be happy and do X, Y, Z. And I think the more that integrations and everyone playing nice together is doing nothing but helping the entire community.
Yeah. Well, you hit the nail on the head there as everyone was building their island. Well, now we're building bridges.
Yeah, for sure. Well, man, I tell you what, Brady, this has been a really great conversation. Thank you for dropping all the knowledge that you did on us, telling us more about District 0x. But what is a final thought that you want to leave with all of our listeners today?
I think actually what I just said is a really important one. I think a lot of people, you know, almost had a very contained tribal-like view of things and kept building their island bigger and bigger and bigger. Let's reach out to one another. Let's like, because everyone's building pretty amazing stuff. If you look out there and start wading through all the entire ocean of islands, let's just connect it all. Let's work together. Let's collaborate and let's build something amazing because I have a feeling the next couple decades are going to be pretty awesome in terms of sovereignty, giving people power and control, and creating some more equitable systems that raise the living standards of, well, billions of people in the world right now that really haven't been given a leg up, and now they can.
Absolutely. And I think that is an amazing final thought to leave with all of our listeners. As everybody, as he just said, you know, let's start building these bridges, let's start connecting, let's like just collaborate because there's just so much good and so much energy being poured into amazing projects. We just got to figure out how we can make them all work together and keep building. So Brady, again, thank you so much. What are some different ways that people can connect with you and learn more about District 0x?
You could join our community, which if you look at us on Twitter, there should be a Discord link on our Twitter. You can join Facebook. We have a YouTube. You can always reach me on Twitter as well. I'm BradyMCK_. It's a little bit weird. That was the one I got stuck with, like everybody. But yeah. You can reach me on Twitter. I mean, if you Google Brady McKenna, I'm all over the place. If you Google District Zero X, it's all over the place. It's easy to find our community channels, but we're on Telegram, we're on Discord. And if you want to meet me in person, I'm actually headed to ETH Denver to perform music in the makerspace and talk more about Web3 and stuff. So if you want to meet me in person, I'll be at ETH Denver this year in February.
Excellent. Well, appreciate you again, Brady. Thank you so much for joining us. And for everybody listening, stay cryptocurrent.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for listening to another episode of Cryptocurrent. For more information on this episode and all of our episodes, please visit us at www.crypto-current.co. Stay up to date with the latest news in cryptocurrency. You'll receive daily emails Monday through Friday that are personalized and curated content specific to you and your interest, powered by artificial intelligence. Are you an accredited investor looking to invest in cryptocurrency? Crescent City Capital can help. Go to crescentcitycapital.com for more information. If you're finding value in our content, please take 5 minutes to leave a 5-star review and a great comment. Also, please make sure to share this podcast with others. Hello, everyone. I hope you're enjoying the quality of this podcast. I can only thank my amazing producer, Andrew DeRitter with DeRitter Productions, who has put this together. If you have any podcast, visual, or video needs, please go to DeRitterProductions.com. That's DERITTER Productions.com.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Cryptocurrent with Richard Carthon. We'll be back with more exciting developments from the world of blockchain and cryptocurrency next week. But until then, stay cryptocurrent.
Please use available exits now.